Hey, are you struggling to stand firm in your faith, push through tough times, or make a difficult decision? Well, guess what? You're in the right place. Because today on Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, we begin a powerful series called Uncommon Courage. Now, in this series, you'll discover how to stand boldly for the truth, persevere through challenges, and step out in faith. Now, you won't want to miss a single day of Daily Hope, because the courage you need starts with God. Now let's get right to Rick for part one of a message called Standing Courageously for the Truth.
You'll open your Bibles and get out your message notes. We're beginning a new series today, a three-week series on uncommon courage. We're going to look at courage to take risks, having the courage to keep going when you feel like giving up. And this morning, I want us to look at the courage to stand for what you believe. A lot of Christians have a hard time speaking up for Jesus in public. That's not a new problem. 2,000 years ago, the Bible says this in the book of John, chapter 7. No one had the courage to speak favorably about Jesus in public. I wonder if that's true of you. Do you have the courage to speak publicly about Jesus favorably? Or are you an Arctic River Christian, frozen at the mouth? Even St. Paul sometimes needed encouragement to be courageous in what he believed. Acts chapter 18, the Bible says this, one night the Lord spoke to Paul in a vision, do not be afraid, keep on speaking, and do not be silent. If ever there was a message that you need in today's culture, God would say this to you about your faith. Don't be afraid. Keep on speaking. Do not be silent. Everybody else is speaking up about what they believe. Everybody else is telling you their worldview. Why should Christians cower in cowardice? Why is it important to courageously stand up for what you believe? Why is it important to courageously speak the truth? Well, look on your outline. Jesus said this in Matthew 10. If you stand up for me against world opinion, I'll stand up for you before my Father in heaven. Well, that settles it right there. Jesus said, you stand up for me on earth, I'll stand up for you in heaven. I want that to happen for you, and I want that to happen for me. You say, what if I don't do that? Well, the next verse, Jesus says this. It's here on the screen. But if anyone denies me here on earth, I will deny that person before my Father in heaven. Do you realize how important it is that you not be a coward about your faith? Jesus said, if you deny me here on earth, I will deny you in before my Father in heaven. God says, if you're ashamed of me, I'll be ashamed of you. Now, to stand courageously for what you believe, for your convictions, for the truth, when it may not be, quote, politically correct, you have to know first what the world believes, and then you know what God says is the truth. What we're talking about here is called a worldview. Your worldview is the beliefs that you base your life on. Everybody has a worldview. Everybody has a worldview. It is the beliefs that you hold to make your decisions. It is the lens by which you view life. You know, there's a thing on the internet now called Instagram where you can share pictures with other people. And the cool thing about Instagram is it gives you about 30 different filters so you can take a lousy photo that you took and using a filter make it look professional. Now, what's interesting, it's the same picture, but when you look at it through a different filter, it looks differently. This is why we have arguments. This is why there's conflict in the world, because everybody uses a different filter. Everybody has a different viewpoint. Everybody has a different worldview. And you could take five people with five different worldviews and see them see the same event, and they're all going to see something differently because they're looking at it from their worldview. Your worldview includes how you see God. Your worldview includes how you see yourself, how you see others, how you view your past, your present, your future. Your worldview includes how you see sex, money, time. Your worldview includes how you see good and evil, problems and pressures. It influences everything in your life. And as I said, everybody has a worldview. And every time you make a decision, you access the worldview database in your mind and you decide, because I believe this, I'm going to do this. If you, for instance, in your worldview believed the world was going to end next week, you would act very, very differently than you are right now. Now, it's how you decide what you decide. Your worldview influences every choice you make. All your choices are based on it. Now, here's the problem. You are profoundly influenced by the worldviews of others. Most of your worldview, you didn't even pick up consciously. In fact, most of your worldview, you've never even thought about. It's unconscious, it's unspoken. You don't even think about you've never sat down and written out your philosophy of life. I guarantee you, none of you have ever done that. Written out your philosophy of life, but it's your worldview. And a lot of your worldview, you picked up not from the word, you picked it up from the world. And you were influenced by your parents' worldview and your peers' worldview and your friends' worldview. Everything in life is supporting a worldview, and a lot of times you pick it up without even realizing it. Every time you read a newspaper article, there's a worldview in that article. Nothing is fair and balanced. Everything in life is biased because everybody has a perspective. Everybody has a filter. There's nothing wrong with that. It's the way we're wired. You just need to understand, well, that's the filter they're coming from. It's why people argue, because we see things differently from our worldviews. And so every time you listen to a song, it has a worldview. Every time you watch a movie, it has a worldview. Every time you read a newspaper or magazine article, it has a worldview. Every time you have a conversation, a worldview is being communicated there. And you pick up a lot of worldview from the world that isn't the truth. You need to pick it up from the word, which is the truth. But as I said, most of the time you haven't even thought about it. Recently, there was a national survey done, and in this survey, they discovered that 62% of Americans claim that they are, quote, deeply spiritual. Okay, 62% of Americans claim they are deeply spiritual. So then they ask these people how that deep spirituality affected their decision-making. And here's what happened. 31% of Americans say, I make my moral choices based on what feels right and comfortable. That's not too spiritual, but I make my moral choices based on what feels right and comfortable. 18% of Americans say, I make moral choices based on whatever is best for me. Okay, that's another way. 14% of Americans say, I make moral choices based on whatever causes the least conflict with others. These are the people pleasers. I go along to get along. Only 16% said, I make my moral choices based on what the Bible says, what God's word says. What does that mean? It means most Christians have a non-Christian worldview. You may be a Christian. You may be on your way to heaven, and you don't have a Christian worldview. In fact, you could be a Christian and headed for heaven and actually have an antichrist or an anti-Christian worldview because you got it from the world, not from the word. Now, I want you to listen really careful to me as your pastor who loves you. You may be headed for heaven, but if you don't base your decisions on the Bible, on the Word of God, you're going to have devastating results in your life. First, life isn't going to make sense. And you're going to go, my life isn't working out. It isn't working the way I had intended it to. Why do I have all this stress? Why do I have all these problems? Why is everything so messed up in my life? Because you're operating on the wrong operating system. It's going to mess up your life here on earth. You'll have unnecessary problems. if you accept the world's worldview. But not only that, you will miss rewards God has planned for you in heaven. Oh, you get into heaven, but you, because you missed it, because you were operating not on what the Word says, but what the world says, you're going to miss so many of the rewards that God had planned for you to enjoy for eternity. So, as we start this series on uncommon courage, we need to look at standing courageously for the truth, and to live with courage, you got to learn how to clarify your worldview. You are continually bombarded by the worldview of other people. As I said, you get it in classroom, you get it at business, you get it in articles, movies, songs, it's all around you. But you may have never identified actually what those worldviews are. So before we look at a Christian worldview, what God says is the truth, I want us to look at the four most popular anti-Christian worldviews. They're all around you. And maybe you've never identified them, but I want you to write these down. These aren't all there. I could give you 100 different isms, but let me give you the four most popular isms in America. The first worldview is materialism. Materialism is the worldview that what matters most is money. That is the materialism worldview. What matters most is money. That life is all about the acquisition of things. And the way you judge or measure your success is by how much wealth you've got. And if you got a lot of wealth, you're very successful. And if you have little wealth, you're not successful. These people who are materialists have bumper stickers that say, "He who dies with the most toys wins." But this is really a stupid philosophy of life. Because you didn't bring anything into the world, you're not going to take anything out of the world, and you're going to leave it all here. So you think that the purpose of your life is just to pile up a pile and then leave it? No. You were made for more than things. Now, Jesus has a very opposite opinion, and he presents a very different worldview. In Luke chapter 12, Jesus says this, "A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." In other words, your possessions don't determine how valuable you are. Your valuables don't determine your value. Your net worth doesn't determine your self-worth. The greatest things in life aren't things. But a lot of people don't understand it. And the whole business of life for many people is simply make money. That's the number one goal of life. If your number one goal in life is to make money, you are a materialist. You say, "Well, I'm not a materialist because I'm not greedy." In materialism, economics trumps everything else. It determines how I vote. It determines how I act. It determines how I think. Economics determines everything else in my life if I'm a materialist, because money matters most. Now, the second most popular anti-Christian worldview is not materialism, it's hedonism. Hedonism. And hedonism is the philosophy that whatever feels good is good. In materialism, money is God. In hedonism, pleasure is God. The whole goal of life is to be happy. The whole goal of life is to have fun. The whole goal of life is to be comfortable. The whole goal of life is to party, to have thrills. And what matters most to the hedonist is how I feel. If it feels good, then it is good. It's got to be good because it feels good. And the number one goal of life is comfort. Now, hedonism can be anything. It could be involve food. It could involve sex. It could involve sports. It could involve a hobby, alcohol. It could involve drugs. Things could be good or bad. Many of these things are good, but they're not the goal of life. If you say, "My number one goal in life is to be happy," you're a hedonist. God did not put you on this earth for your number one goal to be happiness. Happiness is a byproduct of living the purpose you were created for. It is not the goal of life. It's the benefit of life for doing the right things. Holiness creates happiness. Now, a lot of songs today, popular songs, are really hedonism. I mean, when you hear a song that says, it can't be wrong because it feels so right, that's hedonism. When I was growing up as a kid, there was a song said, if loving you is wrong, I don't want to be right. Hedonist. Okay? In other words, I don't want to do the right thing. I want to do the thing that feels good. And if it feels good, do it. That's the motto of the hedonist. Now, you can be a hedonist and not even know it. You can be a Christian and be a hedonist. If your number one goal in life is to make life comfortable, you're a hedonist. If your number one goal in life is happiness, you're a hedonist. If your number one goal in life is retirement, you're a hedonist. Because God did not put you on this earth to do nothing. Now, there's nothing wrong with retirement. It's just not the goal of life. You were made for so much more than pleasure. You were made for so much more than happiness. You were made for so much more than thrills or fun or anything else. And just because something is fun and just because something is pleasurable doesn't make it right. Now, the Bible says this in Proverbs 21. Solomon wrote this. He was the wisest man who ever lived. He's also the wealthiest man who ever lived. And he concluded, are you addicted to thrills? What an empty life. The pursuit of pleasure is never satisfied. Why? Because for the hedonist, like for the materialist, there's never enough. You ask a person, how much money do you need to be happy? Just a little bit more. How many pleasures, how many thrills do you have to have to be happy? Just a little bit more. Why? Because pleasure doesn't last. No thrill lasts. No happiness lasts. No emotion lasts. Whether it's good or bad, it doesn't last. Now, in Hebrews chapter 25, it's up here on the screen, the Bible says, Moses chose to suffer with God's people rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time. Circle the phrase pleasures of sin and circle short time. The thing I love about the Bible is it always tells the truth. It's honest. And the Bible says sin is fun. Notice it says pleasure of sin. Sin is pleasurable. If sin wasn't fun, nobody'd do it. Okay? Okay. Even the Bible admits it. Sin is fun. Is it fun to eat things that are bad for you? Yes. Absolutely. Okay? Is it fun to stay up really late, even though you got to get up early the next morning, you're going to be dead? Yes. There's a lot of things in life that aren't good for you, and they're a whole lot of fun. Or they're a whole lot pleasurable. The Bible says there is pleasure in sin, but it says, notice, it doesn't last. It's for a short time. And with every kick, there's a kickback. With every high, get high, then there's a low. You can get drunk, but then there's the hangover. There's always a payoff. And the cost of sin is far greater than the pleasure of sin. Sin is fun, there's no doubt about it. But the cost of it could be your own soul. And the cost of it could be a broken body, a broken mind, a broken heart, a broken relationship. There's always a cost to sin. Galatians 6:8 on the screen says this, those who live only to satisfy their own sinful desires, that's hedonism, will harvest the consequences of decay and death. But those who live to please the Spirit will harvest everlasting life from the Spirit. In Exodus 23, verse 2, there on your outline, do not follow the crowd in doing wrong. But girls just want to have fun. Yeah, there's nothing wrong with having fun. Do not follow the crowd in doing wrong. It may be fun, but it might not be right.
You know, your prayers and financial support are having a huge impact on millions of people here and around the world. So thank you. Thank you so much. And now Rick's going to share a letter from one of our listeners who says Daily Hope is making a real difference in their life.
Hi, everybody. This is Pastor Rick. Because of the generous support of many of you Daily Hope listeners, we're able to offer Daily Hope devotionals for free
worldwide. In fact, today I have a note from Paul in Kenya that shows how God is at work through the Daily Hope devotionals. Paul wrote me, he said, "I'd like to sincerely thank you for the free gift of your Daily Hope devotionals. May God receive all the glory. For some time now, your inspiring and encouraging messages, along with scripture references, have helped me push through some really tough times and get closer to God. However," Paul writes, "the best part is that my faith in God has now grown to the point that he recently gave me the strength and wisdom to accept his free, undeserved gift of grace and salvation by accepting and confessing Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I feel like a new being, and I yearn to keep growing more and more in God's word and in wisdom, surrendering my life to his will alone. So please hold my hand in this journey to the glory and honor of God through Christ Jesus." Paul, without a doubt, I will hold your hand as you journey with Jesus. There is no greater decision that you could have made than believing and receiving Jesus Christ. So congratulations, you're my brother in Christ, and I want to encourage you to be on the lookout every day to see how God guides you, how God directs you. It's an exciting journey. And by the way, keep studying his word every day. Get a Bible and read it every day. I'm so thankful that Daily Hope Devotional is helping you to do just that. The Daily Hope Devotional is helping so many people like Paul grow closer to God. So if you're not getting it, I really want to encourage you to take the time to go to dailyhoperadio.com and sign up today to get these daily devotionals. They're free.
Hey, be sure to join us next time when we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.